completely insipid, dull, monotonous. "Religion not true," Sazed wrote at the bottom of the paper. "Teachings are directly contradicted by observed events." He undid the straps on his portfolio and slipped the sheet in, one step closer to having gone through all of them. Sazed could see Breeze watching out of the corner of his eye. The soother loved secrets. Sazed doubted the man would be all that impressed if he discovered what the work was really about. Either way, Sazed just wished that Breeze would leave him alone when it came to these studies. "I shouldn't be curt with him, though," Sazed thought. He knew the soother was, in his own way, just trying to help. Breeze had changed since they'd first met. Early on, despite glimmers of compassion, Breeze really had been the selfish, callous manipulator that he now only pretended to be. Sazed suspected that Breeze had joined Kelsier's team not out of a desire to help the Ska, but because of the challenge the scheme had presented, not to mention the rich reward Kelsier had promised. That reward, the Lord Ruler's Atium cash, had proven to be a myth. Breeze had found other rewards instead. Up ahead, Sazed noticed someone moving through the ash. The figure wore black, but against the field of ash it was easy to pick out even a hint of flesh tone. It appeared to be one of their scouts. Captain Goradel called the line to a halt, then sent a man forward to meet the scout. Sazed and Breeze waited patiently.
"Scout report, Lord Ambassador,"
Captain Goradel said, walking up to Sazed's horse a short time later.
"The Emperor's army is just a few hills away, less than an hour."
"Good," Sazed said, relishing the thought of seeing something other than the dreary hills of black.
"They've apparently seen us, Lord Ambassador," Goradel said. "Riders are approaching. In fact, they are
here," Sazed said, nodding into the near distance, where he saw a rider crest the hill. This one was very easy to pick out against the black. Not only was it moving very quickly, actually galloping its poor horse along the road, but it was also pink.
"Oh dear," Breeze said with a sigh.
The bobbing figure resolved into a young woman with golden hair wearing a bright pink dress, one that made her look younger than her 20-something years. Aurianne had a fondness for lace and frills, and she tended to wear colors that made her stand out. Sazed might have expected someone like her to be a poor equestrian. Aurianne, however, rode with easy mastery, something one would need in order to remain on the back of a galloping horse while wearing such a frivolous dress. The young woman reared her horse up in front of Sazed's soldiers, spinning the animal in a flurry of ruffled fabric and golden hair. About to dismount, she hesitated, eyeing the half-foot-deep layer of ash on the ground.
"Aurianne?" Breeze asked after a moment of silence.
"Hush," she said. "I'm trying to decide if it's worth getting my dress dirty to scamper over and hug you."
"We could wait until we get back to the camp."
"I couldn't embarrass you in front of your soldiers that way," she said.
"Technically, my dear," Breeze said, "they're not my soldiers at all, but Sazed's."
Reminded of Sazed's presence, Aurianne looked up. She smiled prettily toward Sazed, then bent herself in a horseback version of a curtsy.
"Lord Ambassador," she said,
and Sazed felt a sudden and unnatural fondness for the young lady. She was rioting him. If there was anyone more brazen with their allomantic powers than Breeze, it was Aurianne.
"Princess," Sazed said, nodding his head to her.
Finally, Aurianne made her decision and slipped off the horse. She didn't quite scamper. Instead, she held up her dress in a rather unladylike fashion. It would have been immodest if she hadn't been wearing what appeared to be several layers of lace petticoats underneath. Eventually, Captain Goradel came over and helped her up onto Breeze's horse so that she was sitting in the saddle in front of him. The two had never been officially married, partially perhaps because Breeze felt embarrassed to be in a relationship with a woman so much younger than himself. When pressed on the issue, Breeze had explained that he didn't want to leave her as a widow when he died, something he seemed to assume would happen immediately, though he was only in his mid-40s.
"We'll all die soon, the way things are going," Sazed thought. "Our ages do not matter."
Perhaps that was part of why Breeze had finally accepted having a relationship with Alrianne. Either way, it was obvious from the way he looked at her, from the way he held her with a delicate, almost reverent touch, that he loved her very much.
"Our social structure is breaking down," Sazed thought as the column began to march again. "Once the official stamp of a marriage would have been essential, especially in a relationship involving a young woman of her rank."
And yet, who was there to be official for now? The obligators were all but extinct. Elland and Vin's government was a thing of wartime necessity, a utilitarian, martially organized alliance of cities. And looming over it all was the growing awareness that something was seriously wrong with the world. Why bother to get married if you expected the world would end before the year was out? Sazed shook his head. This was a time when people needed structure, needed faith to keep them going. He should have been the one to give it to them. The Church of the Survivor tried, but it was too new, and its adherents were too inexperienced with religion. Already there were arguments about doctrine and methodology, and each city of the new empire was developing its own mutant variant of the religion. In the past, Sazed had taught religions without feeling a need to believe in each one. He'd accepted each as being special in its own way and offered them up as a waiter might serve an appetizer he himself didn't feel like eating. Doing so now seemed hypocritical to Sazed. If this people needed faith, then he should not be the one to give it to them. He would not teach lies. Not anymore.
Sazed splashed his face with the basin's cold water, enjoying the pleasurable shock. The water dribbled down his cheeks and chin, carrying with it stains of ash. He dried his face with a clean towel, then took out his razor and mirror so that he could shave his head properly.
"Why do you keep doing that?" asked an unexpected voice.
Sazed spun. His tent in the camp had been empty just moments before. Now, however, someone stood behind him. Sazed smiled.
"Lady Vin?"
She folded her arms, raising an eyebrow. She had always moved stealthily, but she was getting so good that it amazed even him. She'd barely rustled the tent flap with her entrance. She wore her standard shirt and trousers, after male fashion.